Now let's consider one of the great debates in classical economics, namely on the machinery question. Today it's sometimes charged that intelligent machines, in particular computers, are putting some lower-skilled laborers out of work. Well, it turns out this debate has quite a long heritage. The time when the classical economists wrote, starting in the 18th century, was really a time of unparalleled advances for machines. This was, of course, the era of the Industrial Revolution. This included machines for cotton and weaving, new engines, and in particular the use of steam power, and mechanized ironworks were but a few parts of the important new machines behind the Industrial Revolution. The machines aided the work and also living standards of many laborers, but at the same time there were also many negative responses involving strikes, riots, and protests, and indeed this era, 1811 to 1821, is seen as a time of machine breaking, and it's during this time that we see what is now called the Luddite movement arising, and in some cases even going around and wrecking machines based on the view that this would be better for the workers. We now know that the Industrial Revolution raised living standards for workers, but it actually took much longer than many people now seem to realize. David Ricardo, in his Principles of Political Economy, in the third edition, published in 1821, made an astonishing admission, and keep in mind that Ricardo was very much a free market economist. I'm quoting now from the chapter on machinery, quote, "Although I am not aware that I have ever published anything respecting machinery which it is necessary for me to retract, yet I have in other ways given my support to doctrines which I now think erroneous. I am convinced that the substitution of machinery for labor is often very injurious to the interests of the class of laborers." Ricardo was not the first economist to make this observation, but it's this chapter on machinery which really set off the whole debate. Ricardo's attempt to formalize his argument through numerical examples is often fairly confusing, and it's a good example of the benefits of using modern modeling techniques. But just to explain the economics very briefly, you can think of there as being three main effects of having more and better machines. The first is simply that goods are cheaper, and that raises living standards for consumers. The second effect is that many workers are made more productive by the machines because the machine augments the labor of the worker and raises the worker's marginal product. That, of course, is also a positive for workers. But there is a final and third effect, namely that sometimes capital substitutes for labor. That is, one spends money on a machine rather than hiring a worker, and this, of course, can lower both wages and employment. Ricardo's point, quite simply, is that sometimes there are cases where this third effect outweighs the combined impact of the first two. And Ricardo was absolutely correct about that, even though in the longer run, as I mentioned before, the first two positive effects tend to predominate. The debate then continued, somewhat fast and furious. John Ramsay McCulloch, another well-known Ricardian economist, was very upset at David Ricardo, who in a way was his intellectual mentor, and he charged that the revisions to the machinery chapter, in fact, ruined Ricardo's book, and McCulloch was very much a defender of machinery, arguing that it really would raise the wages of labor. We now know Charles Babbage as the individual who actually invented the principles behind the modern computer, but he wrote on economics also, and in 1832 he published On the Economy of Machinery and Manufactures. You can actually buy this free for your Kindle. But Babbage, too, was struck by the notion it is possible that machinery can harm the interests of labor. The debates over machinery culminate in the 1840s, and of course, the criticisms are picked up by the socialists and also by Engels. But John Stuart Mill, who is in some ways a kind of pinnacle of the classical economics tradition, in his Principles of Political Economy, covers the issue, and he has really quite mixed feelings about the effect of machinery on workers, and also quite mixed feelings about the effect of large businesses and large enterprises on workers. You can think of John Stuart Mill as classical economics moving to the political left. There's now some modern empirical work on this question. One interesting paper is Was Mechanization Deskilling? And that was written by James Besson. It's available online. And he looked at textile production somewhat later in the 19th century. What Besson found is that the textile machines benefited those workers who had the skills to work with the machines, but not all workers had the skills or the ability or the inclination to acquire that expertise, and that some of those workers were made worse off. For further reading, there are many places to go, but of course you can start with Ricardo's Principles and the chapter called On Machinery. Two good pieces online on this topic. One is by Thomas Humphrey, Ricardo versus Vixell, and another one is on whether or not Ricardo actually changed his mind on the machinery question. The single most useful source, it's not online, but it's a very good book by Maxine Berg, and that is called The Machinery Question. Another angle to this whole topic is given by the writings of Engels and the Socialists. We hope to cover those in another course. Finally, on the empirics, the entire general question of how long did it take for the Industrial Revolution to raise living standards is relevant to this question as well.